And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Great to be with you. Thank you for keeping with me. Thank you for listening. Please, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, okay? Tell somebody who listens to American Family Radio. Don't forget, there are podcasts on American Family Radio. All you have to do is go to AFR.net, and you can check out the podcast. And our podcast, I think, can be heard pretty much wherever podcasts can be heard. So thank you for sticking with me and helping me and supporting me. I get very, very good reports on what the podcast is producing and the size of the audience. So thank you all very, very much. Okay, we have got a lot to talk about, folks. But before I get to any of that, let me just remind you, Tuesday, May the 12th, is going to be the STAND Awards Dinner. It's an annual event for us. We give out the George Washington Award for taking a stand to worthy patriots from around the country. It's going to be held this year at the Tyson's Corner Marriott. The Tyson's Corner Marriott, that's in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. And I hope you can come. Tickets are not on sale yet, but please mark the date on your calendar. I'd love to see you. Wherever you are, come on and travel and be with us for that evening. Believe me, it'll be inspiring, uplifting, informative, encouraging. You're going to hear from some of the great heroes who are serving us around the country, trying to help make sure that we preserve America as a constitutional republic built on Judeo-Christian foundations. So you don't want to miss it. Be a part of it. To learn more about it as we go on, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. Well, I said there is a lot to talk about today, and there certainly is. And sometimes, you know, I come on the program, I think, boy, where do I even start to try to make sure I get everything in? So I tell you what, let's start with the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that is the Hollywood mainstream media onslaught against ICE. They are just vilifying ICE. You know, they've now gone to, it's not enough, we don't need to reform ICE. We've got to dismantle ICE. We've got to get rid of ICE. In fact, I think their sentiment is captured in this chant. I think they were using this chant in Minneapolis, and it goes this way. Down, down with deportation, up, up with liberation. From Canada to Mexico, the border walls have got to go. So, no borders, no deportation, and anybody who wants to come into our country can simply walk in and they have got a right to be here. In fact, some of them have said that. People have a right to enter the United States of America. Now, here again, I don't know where they make this stuff up. I don't know where they come up with this stuff from, but it's obviously out of the rather wicked recesses of their own minds, and maybe not so much recesses anymore. It seems to be in the forefront of their minds. But this twisted view of our country and its obligations to the world. Let me just say for the record, folks, America has no obligation to anybody outside of our own country. None. Now, we are a compassionate people. We are a Christian culture. And we do lots of things for people around the world. But we don't do those things because we are in any way legally obligated. We do those things because we feel spiritually inspired to do so. That we want to bless people. We want to help people. We want to do good things for people. But we don't have to. And coming into our country is a privilege that we do not have to extend to any particular person. We can slam the door on anybody we feel should have the door slammed on them and not allow them into our country, the same way you would at your front door. Some people might come to your front door that you won't let in the house because you don't feel right about it. You're not obligated to open your door and let anybody who wants to walk in. I mean, to me, that's a very simple analogy. And people, once, I don't know how they twist their minds or get so twisted as to deny it. But what is obvious when you bring it down to the microcosm, somehow they get lost when it comes to our country. But our country is our home. It is where we are supposed to be safe and secure. And one of the ways of assuring that is we only allow people into our country who we believe will not diminish the safety and security of the American people or not be a threat to it. Now, again, folks, that's not so hard to understand unless you just have a deceived mind and a wicked heart, and so you just don't get it. Now, this woman, her name is Eilish. Now, I've never heard of this woman, to be very honest, but maybe I had, I don't know. But I don't follow these pop people. So as far as I'm concerned, that's what they are, pop people. You know, just pop up here, pop up there, and usually pop up with nothing meaningful or intelligent to say. Billie Eilish is her name. But she says, no one is illegal on stolen land. And when she said that, folks, and I didn't watch the Grammys, as you can well imagine, but I saw the news clips, the crowd just roared in agreement. And now we're finding out, I brought this up on my podcast as soon as I heard her say that, but now we're having others raise the question, well, wait a minute. In fact, some native tribes are saying, well, your house is on our land. Oops. Uh-oh. Now, is Billie Eilish going to give her house to the natives? Because again, it's a principle of law. If you really believe the premise that this land is stolen, it's a principle of law that if you have a stolen object or item and you sell that object or item, or for that matter, give that object or item to someone else, that transaction's invalid because you cannot convey to others what you do not own. And if what you claim ownership of is something that has been stolen, it's an invalid transaction. So if they really believe that the land was stolen and she's got a house on the land, by rights, she ought to give the land up. Don't hold your breath. Because you and I both know she's not going to do that. Yeah, and look, if she were crazy enough to do it, which would be completely insane and stupid, I'd give her credit at least for consistency, for really, really believing the crazy stuff she believes, but she's not going to do that. Because they're not that crazy. Because again, this is not about serving people. This is not about blessing people, helping people. This is about the pursuit of power and control. Did you hear, well, I forget who it was, but one Hollywood person suggested that once they take over, it would be a good thing to silence conservatives. I forget the number of years, but in other words, not allow conservatives to be spoken or heard from publicly for about 4 years. Yeah, so that, you know, we could cleanse ourselves and purge ourselves of their terrible influence. But do you see what we're up against? These people are truly evil. Because here again, we believe that the best way to cure bad speech is good speech. That you don't need less speech when people are saying the wrong things. You need more speech from people saying the right things. But not them. No, 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 no. And they had the unmitigated gall to accuse President Trump of being some kind of dictator and fascists and all that. President Trump has never suggested silencing the people who disagree with him. I've never heard him say, I mean, obviously people say things that are categorically and factually wrong that he feels help destroy his reputation. that he will sue them. But he's never said, I don't want them protesting because they're not in agreement with me. They should not. I've never heard him say that. I've never heard him oppose peaceful protests. But these people, they want to shut us down completely. Now, who's the dictator? Who's the tyrant? Who's the person who is a would-be totalitarianist? Who? It is those people on the left. Because they throw the word fascist around, and they have no clue that fascism is simply the other side of the coin of communism, and they're both on the same coin. Because communism posits a totalitarian system, complete and total control of everything and everybody, with a long-term view of a world government or a world system in which really local governments are no longer necessary, because we come to the sort of the communist utopia, if you will. But it is all controlled by the party. Make no mistake about it. Every dot, every tittle is controlled by the party. Fascism posits the same thing, except fascism is more localized. It says, and now we don't need a party that's going to rule the world. Our country is going to rule the world. So it's hyper-nationalist. Germany will rule the world. Italy will rule the world. What have you. But it's with the strong man at the head. It's the same thing. Mussolini was a communist before he coined the phrase fascist. And he is the one, it was Benito Mussolini who coined that phrase. Hitler was already practicing it, but Mussolini coined the phrase fascist. And Mussolini came up with fascism as sort of an outgrowth, if you will, and a kissing cousin to communism, because it really is. You know, ideology is not a linear phenomenon. It is a circular phenomenon. And so at the top of that circle, you have liberty. The very top of that circle, you have liberty. The farther you get, I don't care whether you're moving right, that's my right hand moving, or you're moving left, the farther you get from that pinpoint, that pinnacle, that ideal of liberty, no matter which direction you're moving in, the further you move from liberty. And then at the very bottom, they meet again in complete and total totalitarian, dictatorial, tyrannical leadership. Right, left, all end up in the same place when they begin to go to extreme measures. At the top of that pinnacle where liberty is, you can have liberalism on the left, very close. You can have conservatism on the right, but they're very, very close. And they're arguing at the over the minutia. They're arguing over details. How high should taxes be? Should government be able to regulate this or not? But nobody close to that pinnacle, nobody close to that pinpoint is saying government ought to control everything and everybody. But as they move away, that's what you begin to get. Well, we need more control. 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 And then here they are, right back. Fascism, you could say fascism and communism, same result. Complete, total, and utter control of everything and everybody. And ultimately, by the way, everything and everybody around the world. So this woman, Billie Eilish, now is being made into a total hypocrite, because now the question is, well, if you're living on stolen land, are you going to give your land up? And of course, we know what the answer is. But these people are vilifying ICE and again, calling them fascists, calling them Nazis, calling them Gestapo. You know, I remind people, we lost hundreds of thousands. I don't think we quite lost a million, but we lost hundreds of thousands of people fighting to kill Nazis, fighting to destroy the Gestapo. We did not consider it, and it was not an immoral thing to kill them, because they were bent on world domination, the destruction of the Jewish people, and anybody else they deemed unworthy of living, either enslaving them or killing them. They deserved to die. They deserved to be killed. It wasn't murder. It was self-defense. When you call ICE agents Nazis, fascists, Gestapo, are you not in some subtle, subliminal, maybe some would say maybe not so subtle, not so subliminal way, calling for them to be killed? Are we shocked when somebody takes it upon themselves and says, okay, we're going to kill this ICE agent. I'm going to run this ICE agent over with my car. I'm going to shoot this ICE agent with my gun. They've been shot at. They've had cars pointed at them and run at them. They've had people pelt them with rocks, and they've been spit on. They've been kicked. They've been punched. Because you got a bunch of politicians running around calling them Nazis, calling them Gestapo, and they're executing people. ICE is not executing people. I mean, this is the same canard that they use for the police. The police are out hunting down black men. I mean, it's the same nonsense. And what they are doing is doing a very dangerous, very difficult job, doing it without the cooperation of the local officials, the local police, and the community, which makes it all the more dangerous. And at times, twice now, they have been forced to use deadly force against people coming at them. They did not do it because they're Gestapo, because they're Nazis. They did it because they're law-abiding law enforcement officers seeking to carry out, to fulfill the mandate given to them by Congress, signed by the President of the United States, that requires illegal aliens be deported from our country. And they're not even going after all illegal aliens. They're only going after criminals right now. Let me just make clear. Maybe it's only criminals right now, but eventually you got to get to the rest. Folks, when I was running for president, I'm the only one who said this, including President Trump at the time, but I'm glad President Trump is doing it. I'm the only one who said this. And I said it then. I think I may have said it before I started running, that the Biden administration had put us in such a crisis in terms of the invasion of people across our borders that we were going to have to face the ugly reality of mass deportation. I said that. We have to. They cannot be allowed to stay, period. Because by sending them out of here, you send the message across the border, America is no longer accepting people crossing their borders, so there's no need in going because you won't be allowed to stay. And if you right now you're free. If you go across the American borders, they catch you, they're going to put you in a detention center, you're going to be locked up. And then at the end of that, they're going to put you on a plane and take you right back where you came from. Now, what would be the point? There is no point. It's not worth it. And that's the message we've got to keep sending, pounding away across our southern border particularly. Don't come, because if you do, we're going to catch you. We're going to send you back. But first, you're going to have to go through arrest and detention and incarceration. You have to go through a whole process before we actually get you on a plane and send you home. Why not do it yourself? You can collect $1,000. Maybe they raise it now, $3,000. And you have a little nest. When you get home, you have a little nest to start with. But don't come. And if you're here illegally, don't try to stay, because we're going to catch you and get rid of you. See, I don't like the fact that conservatives seem to almost be buying into. I don't think the president is, because you know he's very wily on this kind of stuff. But I think some conservatives are buying into. Well, we're only going to arrest the criminals. They're all criminals. Some are just worse than others, because they all came into our country illegally. That makes them a criminal. And what we've got to do is just catch them and get them out of here. Period. You know, I often wonder whether what's going on in our country, and I'm sure you all do too, is intentional or it's a matter of naivete, stupidity, incompetence, what have you. This is an interesting story. You know, Peter Schweitzer has written another book, apparently a blockbuster book entitled The Invisible Coup, How American Elites and Foreign Powers Use Immigration as a Weapon. He says that Barack Obama, and I didn't know this one's new to me, and I've been looking at immigration for a lot of years, so this one's new, that Barack Obama actually eliminated the barrier of coming into our country when you are pregnant and about to have birth. In fact, he made it so that you could actually say that on the application. You could say on the application that you're coming to America to give birth to a child that will become an American citizen. And Barack Obama said, that's okay. I mean, I don't have a statutory reference. That ought to be against the law. Birthright, what they call it, birthright tourism. Birthright tourism should be illegal. It should be illegal to come into our country with the intention of giving birth while here. See, my constitutional amendment ends all that. It ends all that. But so let me ask you the question. Why would Barack Obama take that barrier away and say it is okay to explicitly say I am coming to America to give birth to this child so this child will be an American citizen? I mean, the Chinese Communist Party is behind all that. Because now they can have double agents. They can have people who are beholden to China who are entitled to all the benefits of citizenship here in America. And we don't know how many thousands of people they did that for. How many thousands of women came into our country and had children who are citizens of China, if that's what they call them, but also citizens of the United States of America. I really believe that there are people, and Barack Obama is one of them, but there are people who intentionally want to undermine this country. Out of some sense of resentment, out of some sense of noblesse oblige, out of some sense that, you know, Americans are a bunch of dumb flyovers, you know, the Bible thumping and gun carrying and all that. What is clear, is they really do look down on us. They really do. I mean, they see the average American as the dregs of the earth. If only we could rise to the level and the height of enlightenment that they have reached. I'll tell you what, if their enlightenment was able to run its full course, we wouldn't have a country. They'll destroy it from within. I mean it, folks, they'll destroy it from within. So while, praise God for President Trump, he is trying to hold the line on a lot of these issues, but look, this is a spiritual and cultural battle that did not begin with President Trump, and it will not end when President Trump's administration is over. We've got to win it. No politician can do that for us. We've got to win it. I mean, imagine it. Imagine a president encouraging people to come to our country and have babies. Why would they do that? Because they know that those babies are ultimately people that they will probably control. They won't control them all, but hey, 75, 80% of them, depending on how many you bring in. And you realize what some of these terrorist groups have done with far less? Just absolutely generated mass murder, mass hysteria, and sometimes only two or three of them. National news and a crisis in public safety and what? And former President Obama was just ushering people right on in to have babies here. I guess eventually, I don't know whether he'll live to see it, but I guess he's also thinking eventually those babies will be able to vote. And I will teach them how they are to vote. It is very, very sad what the left has bought into. What they have absorbed. And the level of hatred of our country is just unreal. Here's another example of it. The SAVE Act, which all the SAVE Act seeks to do is to say that when you register the first time, you must produce a birth certificate or passport. In other words, to prove that you're an American citizen. I was talking to one of my staffers about this earlier today, folks. I'm going to get into something that's a pet peeve of mine, and I'll try not to run too far down this rabbit trail. One of the biggest and most pernicious lies ever told about the United States of America. Now, not that we didn't have our problems and make our mistakes and commit our sins with racial matters. I'm not denying that, okay? So please don't get me wrong. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying reality. Not denying historicity. But the idea perpetrated that the Constitution defined black people as three-fifths of a person. That is a pet peeve of mine. It is a pet peeve because it just isn't true. And you historians out there like I am, amateur historians, know. But I guarantee you 90% of the American people, if you pulled them and said, what's the three-fifths clause? They'd say, oh, that's the clause that defined black people as three-fifths of a person. I guarantee most of them would tell you that. And again, it's just not true. What the three-fifths clause did was to effect a compromise that had already existed with the Confederate States before we became the United States of America that allowed southern states where there were lots of black people, most of the black people, 90 plus percent of all black people in America in the antebellum South lived in the South. 90%. I mean, very, very, very few black people live north of the Mason-Dixon line. Now, I was born north of the Mason-Dixon line during segregation because I was born in 1952, but I didn't experience it because I was born in Pennsylvania. So I didn't experience Pennsylvania had rid itself of slavery and its vestiges a long time before that. But this lie that is perpetrated about the three-fifths clause, when the three-fifths clause was simply a compromise that said, for purposes of congressional representation, these states will be allowed to count their slaves at three-fifths of their population. And the districts and the states will be able to count the slave population for purposes of the census at three-fifths of the population. And the point was to limit the amount of congressional representation slave states had, because the more people you count, the more representation you get. And the people who were against slavery said, let's hold them to three-fifths. And the people who were for slavery said, I wish we could get one-on-one, count every single one of them. Why? Because it would increase their power. They would have more congressional representatives in Washington, D.C. And yet the black people that they had enslaved wouldn't be able to vote, wouldn't be able to voice an opinion, wouldn't be able to do anything. Because it was their slave masters who didn't consider them to be people. Or at the very least, even if they did, they weren't shared with anybody else, and they want to make sure that nobody else would share any such revolutionary ideas as to suggest that the slaves were actually human and beings created by Almighty God in His image and His likeness, just like any American of European ancestry were. They didn't want that word to get out. They didn't want me to be able to put that word out. So they basically come up with these lies about our country, about our Constitution. Frederick Douglass read the Constitution and said, I don't see a racist document at all. He had been turned against the Constitution because he thought it was racist, because of course it isn't everything. And then when he read it, he said, you know what, I was wrong. Nothing wrong with the Constitution. I mean, George Washington warned against corrupt morals and boundless ambition ultimately leading to the ruination of our country and to the disregard of our Constitution. I mean, we saw that with COVID. And we've already seen a lot of that. Yeah, I know that's what the Constitution says. Like Governor Murphy up in New Jersey, remember he was asked, well, do you think that during COVID, you think the things you're doing are constitutional? He said, well, that's above my pay grade. You signed an oath. You took an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America to preserve, defend, and protect the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and bear true faith and allegiance to the same. You took an oath to the Constitution, but now you don't know whether it applies to what you're doing because it's above your pay grade. Well, maybe you shouldn't have taken the oath. Maybe you need to just move on. You know, folks, I cannot help but come back to this thought. If America is that bad, if it is as bad as they claim it to be, leave. I mean, it can't be that hard. I'm looking for this. Yeah, Draymond Green. He had some kind of confrontation with the referee. And the referee apparently put his hand to his face. I don't know what the referee did, or maybe he did something like that, or I don't know what he did. But he certainly it was clear he wasn't threatening to hit him or anything like that. But apparently he just didn't like the way he put his hand in his face. And he says, this is his response to the referee. As a black man in America, don't put your hand in my face. Now, I'm thinking to myself, so if you were a black man in Africa, would it make a difference? As a black man in America, that's a non sequitur, so as a black man in America. So I guess what he's trying to say there, rather inarticulately, trying to say is, Because I am a black man in America, I am oppressed. I am emotionally and psychologically distressed. I am bitter. I am angry. And therefore, don't put your hand in my face because it conjures up the racism of this country and makes me angry. I want to fight. I guess that's what he was trying to say. As a black man in America, well, why don't you leave? If you're that unhappy and you think that things are that stacked against you, why don't you just leave? I mean, I'm not saying that out of hatred. I'm saying that out of concern. If you are that unhappy, if you think the circumstances in which you are living are that bad, why in the world would you want to stay? Because the fact of the matter is, it's not that bad. Most of these people are doing very well, thank you. But that's where we are in our culture. We have a major spiritual, cultural, and political battle on our hands. Now, you all know what's going on in Virginia. Abigail Spinberger has spun a little web of lies and deceit. And now she's prepared to take away our magazines and lock us up and take away our so-called assault weapons. I mean, folks, if I didn't find that so utterly disgusting, I'd laugh every time I hear it. You're taking away our assault weapons. What is an assault weapon? I mean, they say, we're taking away your assault weapons. You don't need those weapons in America. Folks, a car is an assault weapon. A baseball bat is an assault weapon. A knife is an assault weapon. When you turn that instrument to use against someone else, to harm them, to kill them, in that moment, at least, it's an assault weapon. Sitting in my safe, they're just rifles. But oh no, 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 no. We're you know. Folks, it just, again, don't try to think through it. Okay? Because it won't make any sense. Your brain will just go tilt. Try to remember that the bottom line, the raison d'etre of these people is power. Absolute control over you, me, and the whole kit, bang, and caboodle. Because that's what they really want. That's where they're comfortable. They're not interested in, they're not the least bit interested in a capitalist society based upon free markets and property and personal responsibility. Nope. They need a culture of dependence and a culture of death, I would add, because both those things allow them to take control. And that's what they love. If it were about people and serving people, you know, you'd find those moments you say, well, you know what, that's really great. Okay, I get that. That's a compassionate thing to do. But look, ICE officers are being criticized because they arrested a guy in New York, Gerardo Miguel Mora, a criminal illegal alien from Mexico charged with strangulation, rape, assault, burglary, grand larceny, and drug possession. And they wouldn't even hold him on bail. They let him go. ICE had to go chase him down. He's an illegal alien with all these charges pending. Strangulation, rape, sexual assault, burglary, grand larceny. But they wouldn't hold him. They let him go. I guess this is one of those no cash bail deals. You're free to go because it's not fair that the rich can pay their bail and you can't. Okay. And they said ICE officers were forced to arrest this public safety threat at large because New York City sanctuary policies released him back onto the streets instead of safely transferring him into ICE custody. So let's see, the local government is engineering this. That's why I say, look, even if you didn't care about the law-abiding citizen who is out there trying to live their lives, if you care about this ne'er-do-well, this criminal, you know the best place for him is to be locked up. Because the next time, it could be life in prison without the possibility of parole or even the death penalty. But oh no, 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 no. We've got to do the compassionate thing. Let them roam. Let them get it out of their system. Maybe after they've killed two or three girls, they'll be ready to stop. I know, folks, it's absurd, but that's what it feels like, isn't it? I mean, that's the way it comes across. ICE agents trying to enforce the border, and you're going to attack the ICE agents. What they should have said when they showed up in Minneapolis, what the people should have said there was, you know what? You're right. We've got some bad actors here. We're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to work with you to get them out of here. And then we're going to help in whatever way we can to make sure that no other illegal aliens enter our city and get set and set up shop and start stealing all the money from daycare and welfare and all of that. We're going to make sure that that does not happen again. Now, see, that you and I would be cheering. That would make sense. But that's not what they're going to do. They never will, because they are hell-bent on power, and they will take it at any cost. Now, that is the bottom line. They are hell-bent on power, and they will take it at any cost. And I don't use that phrase, hell-bent, vulgarly or as a profane phrase. That is a literal spiritual statement. These people are bent toward hell. And if they don't get their act together, I mean, you imagine standing up on stage to an international audience, albeit a lot smaller than it used to be, and saying, blank ICE? Really? Charming. Wow. I'm impressed. You could string together two words, two whole words, and one of them is a profanity. Wow. Well, thank God we've got some people here with good sense. Governor DeSantis is ordering his bureaucracy in Florida to no longer issue driver's licenses to people who can't take them exclusively in English. Good. Because that's the other thing you do. You dry up their employment opportunities. There's no place for them to go but home. Which is exactly what they ought to do. You know, by the way, same thing with the SAVE Act. You would think that the Democrats would want to protect the safety of our ballots. You would think, right? You would think that they would want to know that people are citizens, that they would want to know that they valid. That they voted validly. They would want to know they didn't repeat their votes. They would want to know, but they don't. Why don't they want to know? Because they want to cheat. That's why they don't want to know, because they want to cheat. I guarantee you, we got illegal aliens voting in our country right now. I guarantee you, I have no doubt whatsoever about it. I wouldn't be surprised that seat just got flipped in Texas. I wouldn't be surprised if that had a role in flipping that seat. President Trump won it by 17 points, and now is it like a 20-point shift? I think this guy lost it by 4 or 5 points, a 20-point shift, 25-point shift. I mean, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Unless there's a little shenanigans going on. a little sleight of hand. You know what the mantra is? I think it was Frantz Fanon who coined this phrase, the communist Frantz Fanon. By any means necessary. And that referred to anything the revolution thought it needed to do. Kill people, torture people, disappear people, put them in labor camps, you name it. Whatever it takes. And that seems to be the way the Democrat Party is proceeding right now. Now, I'm sure you know about this. This is some good news. I'll end on this because we do need some good news anyway, right? This detransitioner, this person's name is Fox Varian, 22 years old, sued the hospital. This is a woman. Sued the hospital that had cut off both her breasts and won a $2 million lawsuit, plus $400,000 to cover ongoing medical expenses. Again, I ask you, a person of common sense. By the way, she was 16 years old when they did this to her. It probably took her then 2 or 3 years to figure out that this was a very stupid thing to do and to regret it. And so now, here she is 6 years later, suing and winning. But you know what? That $2 million doesn't buy you peace of mind. That $2 million doesn't restore what you lost. Just think about this. For anybody to think that by cutting off the breasts of a young girl, cutting off the penis of a young boy, you're going to somehow make them healthier people? Does that even track? Folks, this is absolutely, the surgery they're performing on these kids is tremendously expensive. They're getting reimbursed to the tune of lots and lots of money. And this girl said, basically, these two, her psychologist and her doctor talked her into this. You may commit suicide if you don't have this done. No, she's ready to commit suicide probably now, but it's the thinking that goes into this stuff is very, very difficult to fathom. It really is. But again, the only way you can understand it is to know that they're not following any kind of logic. What they're following is a depraved mind, a reprobate mind that's been given over to this stuff because they're in rebellion against God. And I don't know where the parents were with this stuff, because, you know, nowadays, basically, they want to punish the parents if you dare oppose them. But I'll tell you, if my children were young enough and got exposed to this stuff, you just better get ready for serious opposition, because you're certainly going to get it. I don't care what the law says. I don't care what anybody else says. These are my children, and you're not going to mess them all up. No. If they're going to get messed up, God forbid, if they're going to get messed up, I'll do it because I'm responsible. Why would I delegate to someone else messing my child up? And then I got to answer for it for the rest of my life. No, thank you. I mean, A, because you love them, and B, because you're not going to let somebody do something to them that you know is going to be with them for the rest of their lives and probably something that they will regret for the rest of their lives. But, see, I think this is all this stuff, the extremism with regard to immigration, the extremism with regard to abortion, the extremism with regard to any issue, this whole gender bending nonsense, all of the radical views that they take are really about undermining the country from within. That's what they're up to. I got to go, folks. I'm over time. Listen, God bless each and every one of you. If you want to help us, help me with my organization, Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. You can contribute there. You can pray for us. You can volunteer. You can give. Pray, volunteer, give. Those are the three things we ask of all of our people. Pray, volunteer, and give. All right. In the meantime, you know what to do. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how much they scream and moan and groan and complain and condemn the country and condemn us. And I don't care how much they do any of that. Our commitment is this. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.